share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, when Jesus calls your name. When Jesus calls your name. John chapter 20. I'm going to back up a little bit. You're getting two in one this morning. Since we had to cancel our sunrise service, I'm going to inject a few things out of it into our morning service this morning. And what the Lord has laid upon my heart concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Four significant things took place during this crucifixion and resurrection that we need to be ever and mindful of what took place at that time. One of those things was for a period of 3 hours, darkness was upon the face of the earth. Can you imagine when Jesus was hanging on that cross up there and those that had placed him there, they had to be troubled to look out on that mist of folks that had placed him on that cross and think, what have we done? This darkness had to speak something to it. If it didn't, then when he gave up the ghost and he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the veil of the temple rent in two. And now, Jew, Gentile, me and you, all of us alike, have access to the throne of God. You think about it. Those religious leaders of that day, they would go in a mist and they would wave the incense, and the incense would cloud up in the mist of the temple there in the Sanctum Sanctorum of the Holy of Holies of King Solomon's temple, and nobody could enter that but once a year, and then only with blood. Something had to die. On the crucifixion, our Lord and Savior died. And the blood that he shed is the blood that redeems you and I that we sang about earlier today in our opening assembly. He said here that the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. She ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they lay him. Again, evidence that they knew what Jesus said, that he was going to die. They knew what he said when he claimed that he was going to rise again after 3 days. But they had yet to believe what the Lord was doing for them. Darkness and the tearing of the veil in the temple there. That ought to have been enough to get their attention. But from that, then comes an earthquake. And it tells us that it was an earthquake that was strong enough, powerful enough, that the very rocks of the mountains cracked and rolled over. Powerful earthquake. Darkness, the veil of the tent split, earthquake. You know, all those things, we could say, well, Mother Nature was having a field day that day. But this fourth thing really captured my attention. Dead bodies began to come up out of the grave. Dead bodies went into the cities, and people saw them, and things transpired. Let me fill you in on a little secret. If you're not right with the Lord, one of these days, dead bodies are going to come out of that grave. All of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. Those that are left behind will be dealt with by God on these terms. Just think about it. Dead people coming out of that grave. A lot to think about was taking place. And when these women, Mary Magdalene being the focal point in what we're sharing here, when they saw and they heard what was taking place, they left the sepulcher and went and told Peter, "They have taken away my Lord. We don't know where they have put him." Scripture says, so they both ran, Peter and John, and came to the sepulcher. And Peter did outrun, John outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. What did John see that caused him to freeze there and not want to go into that grave that's hewed out into the side of that limestone hillside? I went in to what they said was the grave when I visited in 93, I believe it was, of the Holy Land. And I had to stoop my head a little to get inside the opening. But once inside, I could stand up. I seen the bed that was hewed out of the limestone, the place where he lay, all the things, the linens that were folded in place there, and the other things. But one thing they could not represent there, they could not make look real, and that was the wrappings that Joseph of Arimathea had done to the body of Jesus, and how he was dealing with him in that. That linen cloth was there just like a cocoon. It was the body out of it, but the substance still there that was holding there. And Scripture says when he stooped down and looked in, he saw those linen clothes, yet he went not in. Then cometh Peter, and he went into the sepulcher, seeing the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was above his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, everything in its proper order. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and he believed. I'm wondering, your life, what is it going to take for you to believe? Would 3 hours of darkness over the face of the earth at a time when it wasn't supposed to be dark get your attention? The direct access that we have by the tearing of the veil, earthquake, dead bodies running up and down the streets. What would it take to get your attention? What would it take for you to believe? Peter saw the same thing John saw, but John believed. But Peter still wondered, what in the world is going on? And the Scripture says the reason they had, for as yet they knew not the Scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. You know, how many times do we listen? How many times do we hear? How many Easters have come and gone where the message is basically the same, the resurrection and our redemption through Jesus coming forth out of that grave? And what's taking place there? They didn't know the Scripture. They never made that a part of who they were in their hearts and in their lives. But the Scripture says, then the disciples went away again into their own home. They went back to their old way of doing things. They'd been following Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd heard him say time and again that there was coming a day that he is going to die for the sins of the world. They didn't understand. They didn't believe. They didn't take it to heart. what he was telling them in their lives. They returned back to their homes. But thank God for women, because women take up the slack of the men that's going on here. So many of them, look, Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. She's shedding tear after tear after tear over the death of her Lord and her Savior. Mary Magdalene is very appreciative for what the Lord had done for her in her heart and her life. We sang that part of our musical a while ago that says, "So good, so good. You have been so good to me." I wanted to stop right there and holler out and ask you, has God been good to you? He's sure been good to me. He's been through a lot with me. He's brought me through a lot in my heart. I see this Mary, she's standing there and she's weeping. And she looks into that sepulcher and she sees two angels in white, sitting one at the head, one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She was looking, seeking. He was supposed to be in that grave, but he wasn't. And when she had thus said that, she turned herself back. And she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Can you imagine what it would be like to look Jesus in the face and not know him? I believe there'll be many in that day. It'll say unto him, "Lord, Lord," and he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But in this case here, Jesus is standing there, and she knew not. But in verse 15, it says, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away." But listen to this. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and looked. She didn't recognize him the first time. But when he spoke her name, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Master. When Jesus called her name, she recognized, looking him face to face, she didn't know him. But hearing his voice, hearing that still small voice that cried out to her and said, "Mary," she knew him. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go and to tell my brethren, saying to them, I ascend into my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." See, when he rid her of the demons that possessed her, she became a true follower of Jesus. He truly worked a miracle in her heart and in her life by getting rid of those demons. And she was so appreciative of that. Evidently, she was a fairly wealthy lady. She helped with the ministry that Jesus had on many occasions. You can go back in Scripture and find where she was there. But here, as she sees now Jesus for who he is, after she had heard his voice, he gave her a command. And he said unto her, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He's my God too. Is he yours? Do you know him in the saving grace and knowledge of salvation, that he went to that cross, he died on that cross, he's buried in that tomb, he arose three days later over death, hell, and the grave. He's ascended back to the Father, and he's sitting right there on the right hand of the Father. And when I get there and I plead my case before God, he's going to intercede for me. He's my defense. He's going to take up for me. He's going to tell the Lord, yes, sir, he's one of mine. Here's his name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. It's yours? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciple that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Isn't that an awesome thing? I'm looking forward to the day that I'm going to see the Lord. Amen. You know, that's going to be a hallelujah time forevermore. I hear him say, I got a mansion. You know, I hear him say that I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And I'm going to see gates of pearl and walls of all of beauty and majesty of how much heaven is. There ain't nothing going to compare with seeing my Savior, my Lord. Why? Because I trusted him here. He's going to defend me there. He said, whosoever will confess him before men, he'd confess before his Father in heaven. Is he going to be your defense? Is he going to stand up for you? Listen what happens here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they was locked in, chained, and bound down, because they were scared the Jews were going to crucify them next, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Poof! He was there. You think about that? Wasn't magic. It was who he was and what he's doing. What's the first thing Jesus had to do when he appeared to him in that upper room? He had to calm them down. Woo! I can tell you what he had to do to me. He had to pick me up off the floor, because I'm telling you, it would scare me to death to be in the honor and presence of my Lord and my Savior. Awesome. Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side that was pierced. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They are glad. I'm going to be glad. What about you? You're going to join me in praising him? I've been doing some studying in Psalms and Proverbs, and one thing I've learned in those two books, the last few weeks that I've been reading through some things in them and stuff, it's all about praise. You know what it's all about singing. You know what I figured out? We can praise him here. We can sing, you know, his glory and majesty here. We're going to sing to give praise to him. You know, people tell me all the time, Brother Larry, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven, I'm going to see my mama. No. There'll be time for that. We'll have plenty of things to see our loved ones. First thing you're going to do is see your God. See your Lord. And see what he's dealing. These religious leaders took Jesus' resurrection very seriously. But the disciples didn't take it very serious. What did the disciples do? You remember? They stood afar off, out in the shadows, and they watched the crucifixion. Where were the women? At the foot of Jesus, wasn't it? They were there. What did they want to do? All Peter and John was going to the tomb for was to confirm that it was empty. You know? They didn't believe the girls. But when they got there and they saw, John believed, but Peter still doubted. Still had things he didn't understand about it. What about you? It all boils down to one thing, our faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not. I hadn't seen heaven. I haven't seen the Lord. I haven't seen, but I got faith that what that Bible teaches me is correct. And that one day I'm going to give an account of myself to God for the things I've done in my body, whether they be good, whether they be bad. You know? That's the reason I'm so proud that he would take someone like me and forgive me of all the sin and wrong in my heart and my life. And I fail him every day, and I have to go back to him every day and ask for forgiveness. Study that word and see what it says and let it speak to my heart. Because when I find myself in a bind, you know, what I need is a word from God. You know how I get that word from God? From what I've read and studied in the scriptures. And God would bring that back to my memory and help me through whatever difficulty it may be. Gunshot wound, tractor turning over on me, you know, cancer, heart trouble, nothing God can't take care of. Amen. We just believe. He said, whosoever believeth in me would not perish but have everlasting life. What you putting your trust in? What are you hoping for? Most importantly, where are you going to spend your eternity? Would you pray with me? Lord, I know this morning with the musical, what a tremendous job the choir has done. Brother Ernie has led us so faithfully. We thank him so much. But with the musical and the weather this morning, and we've kind of been crowded for time this morning. But we don't want to be so fast that we rush through and not give your Holy Spirit an opportunity to search the hearts and lives of each and every one of us. And we will answer ourselves the questions. What do we believe? Well, I didn't know there were 3 hours of darkness. First I've heard about splitting that veil, giving me access to God. Boy, that was some powerful earthquake he talked about. You know, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. What do you believe? What will it take you to believe? Don't wait till you see him face to face. Hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. Trust him today. Let him be your Lord and Savior. Speak to our hearts, God. Show us what you would have us to do. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what do you hear?
Jesus paid it all. 134.